Greetings this morning in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you here this morning. Already been blessed being here. What's been shared. And it's just good to be with you here. Met a brother at the door here as we came, and he said, "Well, I guess we know who's going to preach." So I guess kind of according to custom, we do the same thing. If there's a visitor, we ask them to preach. So hope you'll bear with us here this morning. Just a few thoughts, of course, as we came on Thursday, we heard some of the happenings here and some of the difficulties that you're facing here, particularly one couple, and you as a congregation as you share in that. And so I didn't know exactly what to preach about or something that would be fitting, but not necessarily going to focus maybe on that. I would like to, just in the beginning, talk about our sovereign God. And when we think of one who is sovereign, he is all-powerful, he is answerable to no one. But we have the confidence that he does all things well, and it's for our good. And I'd like to just read a few verses from Lamentation chapter 3 for your comfort, for your consolation, for to strengthen your hand in God's hand. Lamentation chapter 3, some verses that were meaningful to me in a time of grief. It says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet he has compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." Beautiful verses that describe an almighty God. And again, he's answerable to no one, but we can have the confidence that he loves us and he has compassion and he wants to walk with us through the difficult things in life. So may that be your, may you find comfort and strength in that. I'd like to share a message that I trust will be an encouragement to all of us here today, to you as a congregation, to you as parents, to you as young people, all of you. And the title of the message is, and I take this from a poem, but it's called The Set of the Sails. And quite some time ago, I was impressed with the words of this poem. And I'd like to just share some thoughts this morning that, again, I trust will help us as we walk this life, with its decisions, with its difficulties. That it will help us to choose right. And I'd like to, as an opening passage to this message, I'd like to turn to Psalm 107. And I'd like to read just a short section of this psalm. If you'll remember this psalm, different times says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." But in this section, he gives different circumstances in life, but the section I would like to read, beginning at verse 21, talks about being out on the ocean. And I'm not sure how many of you like to be out on the ocean. I don't fare very well. Finally decided it's not the place for me to be. And so I try to avoid that. But there is something fascinating about the ocean. I'd like to read verse 21, beginning at verse 21, verse 29. No, beginning at verse 21 down through verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. If there was kind of a subtitle to this message, it would be from the last part of verse 30, where He says, so He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Beautiful picture, coming through the storm, that God brings them to their desired haven. And this morning, tying that in with the title, The Set of the Sails, it's we arrive at our desired haven according to the set of our sails. So I'd like to read this this little poem here this morning by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. The set of the sails. One ship sails east and another west by the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that tells the way they go. Like the winds of the sea or the waves of time as we journey along through life, 'tis the set of the soul that determines the goal, and not the calm or the strife. And this morning, all of us are, as it were, sailing through life. One voyage, one opportunity. And we're sailing for a destination. A.W. Tozer said, we have such a short time to prepare for such a long time. We have an hour to prepare for eternity. So life is serious. This voyage is serious. And I'm sure that all of us here this morning want to arrive at that desired haven. So my first point here is it is not the wind that determines the direction of travel, but it's the set of the sails. Now I realize that in our modern time we don't probably know a lot about sailing ships and sails, and I'd like for you to think just a little bit. I believe it was on August 3, 1492, that Christopher Columbus, set out from Spain with his three little ships. You children remember studying about that in school, history. We had these three little ships. They were little by today's standards. The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. They had about 80 crew members. And they were headed for the Indies, Columbus thought. After quite some time crossing the ocean, they landed in the Caribbean on an island there. And I'm sure we all realize there was no motors on these boats, but it was sails. And I think we could ask the question, and I haven't done much study on this, at least not for quite a while, but I don't think that the wind was always blowing from the east when they left Spain. No doubt they run into headwinds, crosswinds, but they were able to reach land. Well, we don't know a lot about that. One natural illustration I think of is if you travel the Columbia River or the 84 through the Columbia River Gorge, and if there's a good wind blowing, there's a good chance you're going to see the windsurfers out there. And it impresses me as we drive along and we watch them. And the wind's probably blowing pretty good from the east or from the west. But when they take off from the beach, wherever they take off, they're able to go out there and do their maneuvers and jump the waves. But they can come back to where they took off from. So that's just kind of a modern thing that we see. But it's how they set the sail, these windsurfers. It's how they set the sail that they can navigate. And just to give you a little bit of a lesson here, but sailing requires skill and knowledge. And I've taken some of this from the World Book here. But you can sail into the wind. Now, again, keep in mind we're talking about the set of the sail, but you can sail into the wind. And that may seem strange. They don't go straight into the wind, but they call it tacking. And they can navigate into the wind. Or they can go across the wind. So the wind's blowing one way, and they can go across the wind. And that's called reaching. Or they can go with the wind, and that's called running. And then there's another term that they use, and that's trimming the sails. And that's making the optimum, it's adjusting the sail to take the full advantage of the wind. So there's basically these three maneuvers that the sailors need to know. But it is possible to reach their destination. It all depends on the set of the sail. And again, this morning, we're all sailing. We're all sailing. I believe Brother Clayton mentioned that we have time. That's important. But his point was that eternity is more important than time. But it's what we do. It's how we sail. Time is where we plan, is where we'll spend eternity, determines where we will spend eternity. I'd like to look at some facts to consider now. Hope you can stay with me here this morning. Just some facts that I'd like for us to consider. The first one is, we've all been born into this world, not by our own choice, and we are on the voyage of life. Like it or not, you're in life. And you're on a voyage, and we just will face that. And so it makes life serious. There's another fact that I'd like for you to consider too as we think of this voyage of life, that there is God, our Creator, who loves us, and He has a plan for each one of our lives. And he desires to protect us, to guide us. And he desires so much that we reach the desired harbor. That's heaven. And to spend eternity with him, that's really what he wants so much for all of us. In fact, he loves us so much that he came down, took on himself human flesh, lived among men, was tempted in all points as we. And finally, he died for us. He rose again by his mighty power so that we can spend eternity with him. He's promised to be with us on this voyage of life. That gives us the perspective of this whole, where we find ourselves in life, why we're here, how we came here, and what our Creator desires for us. Number three, another fact I'd like for us to consider is we only make this voyage but once. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Time and the sea of life, the voyage that we are on, is our preparing time for when we stand before the just and almighty God of all the earth. And today is the day of opportunity. Prepare for that time. But we only make this voyage once. Somewhere here, I'd like to say that we are thankful for God's mercy. And if we make mistakes, we do live in the day of opportunity and grace that we can repent and change course. And then the fourth point, and that's what makes us all so serious. There are only two, there are two and only two destinations at the end of this voyage. We could go to Matthew 25. I don't think we'll take the time to turn to that. But we have the judgment scene where before the judge, Jesus, is all nations are gathered. He's going to separate them, the one from the others. The shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Only two groups, those on the right hand, those on the left. There's only two groups, two destinations. Those on the right, he says, and we're not going to go into the details of how they came to the on the right side, but he says, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then on the left are those to whom he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." And then the conclusion of that chapter, it says, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And all of us here this morning are going to go to one of those two destinations. There's no middle ground. And I think it should move us and impress us this morning that all of us, even our children, the sweet little children beside you this morning, are all going to face eternity in one of these two places. And it's all determined by the set of the sail. Now, we understand innocent children. We know where their place is, and that is in the bosom of Jesus. But as they grow to adulthood, and they make choices, it all depends on the set of the sail. And we'll touch on that possibly toward the end here, but We as parents have so much to do with the way our children set their sail. The psalmist had this confidence. He said, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Isn't that beautiful? God wants to lead us and guide us there. I'd like to think just a bit now about some of the winds and the billows of life. Brother Clayton read there from Luke and talked about, if you go earlier in the chapter, it talks about Jesus and his disciples out in the storm. I'm not sure if it's the same account, but in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus came walking out onto the sea, and his disciples were in a storm. And it just impressed me what it said about them. It says, "The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Thought that kind of went along here with the winds and billows of life. Contrary. Contrary to our perspective of really what would be good, what we would like. But we know with Jesus that as we follow him and as we set our sail according to his direction, that even those billows that are contrary can bring us to the desired haven. Not sure if this may be a good place to bring this in or not, but someone, my father actually gave me this motto, and it hangs in my study. We've gone through some difficult times church-wise. And it says this: sometimes God calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. We're not promised that life will be easy. And we do face, all of us, I think, we realize that there are winds and billows of life that we face, circumstances beyond our control. I have a few things jotted down here. So we think of some of these winds and billows. This is more on a personal level here. We'd like to just talk about that for your encouragement this morning. So that in these things we set our sail in the right way. You see, there's right and there's wrong ways to respond to these billows and the difficult things in life. But we want to set our sails so that we end at the desired haven. So, the first one I have here is the loss of good health. And probably as we get older, and some face it younger, but there are difficulties that we face physically. Maybe it's disease or sickness. Maybe it's the dreaded word cancer. And we can either become, as we hear sometimes, we can either become bitter or better. But it all depends on the set of the sail. And our concept, how we set our sail, has to do with how we view God and his love and care, and that he is sovereign. I think of the example of Paul, the apostle. He had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was, but I think it was something that he felt was a hindrance to him. He thought he would be better off without it, maybe even in the proclaiming of the gospel. But he says that he besought the Lord three times that this thing would be removed, this thorn. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And what was Paul's response to that? He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities." You see, the set of the sail. He wasn't going to let it divert him from serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord. He had his eye on the goal. He had his eye on the desired haven. And so he came through victorious. But it can be discouraging. It can be... maybe we wonder why God's handing that to us. Another wind and billow that we may face on the voyage of life, and all of us will sooner or later, and that is the loss of a loved one. And we wonder why. And again, some people may become bitter. Why have we had to go through this? Maybe it's a life companion that we've spent many years with. Maybe it's dear children, siblings. I'm going to just pull from the example of Job. If you remember that story there, and I don't think any of us can really relate to everything that he experienced, at least not all at once. The loss of his children, his possessions, his health, lost the support of his wife. He was accused by his friends. What did he say? How did he have his sail set? He said, "The Lord gave, the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he had this confidence. He said, "Though he slay me, I'm still going to trust him." And he said, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Isn't that beautiful? But I believe that Job, in his confidence in God, the sovereignty of God, and I believe Job wanted to reach that desired haven, and he didn't allow it to divert him from that. Yes, he went through a time of questioning and trying to sort it out, but he came through victorious. Another one I have here, and that's directed more to young people. Young people here this morning, maybe there's unfulfilled dreams and desires. And the years keep rolling by. We see friends getting married. Just doesn't look like life's going to is dealing me a very fair hand. And some become bitter. Some look to the affair, to the attractions of the world. Maybe there's temptations to compromise, to let go of what you've been taught. Maybe it's getting into some of the snares that Satan would try to trap not just younger ones, but older ones as well. Unholy music, pornography, those temptations that come. Maybe it's loss of friends that are going in a worldward direction. These are all things that, unless you have your sails set and a determination to reach the desired haven, you could make shipwreck. So I give another example here, and that is of Joseph. Such an example of one who had his sails set. And the fear of God in his heart. He had plenty of opportunity as he was down there in Egypt to become bitter, to become discontent with the pace of things and of God's working in his life. He could have let go of what he had been taught. He was enticed by an immoral and seductive woman. But what did he say? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The set of the sail. Well, this is just some of the things we may face more personally. Do our circumstances make us better or bitter? Can we maintain our faith in God even in the midst of a storm? I like the example of Paul there. We read about that in Acts as he was on that ship that was doomed to be sunk. But as the storm was raging, and he stood there and he said, I believe God that it's going to be just like he told me. Well, again, I would like to say, in our voyage of life, sometimes we lose sight of the goal. We maybe make wrong choices, but we're thankful that there is forgiveness if we repent and set our sail again in the fear of God for that desired haven. I'd like to think just a little bit about our choices in life. And we could say that this is the set of the sails, the choices that we make. Let's remember that we only make this voyage but once, and that there's only two destinations. Choices. We all face choices. We face choices individually, as families, as congregations. And I simply ask, is it Godward or worldward? Is it faith in God, obedience to His Word, or is it a lack of appreciation for Christ and for cross-bearing? That desire to not be too different from the world. I'd like to just think a little bit about Abraham and Lot. We won't take time to read that, and I'm sure the story is familiar. But you remember that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, headed for a country that God had promised to him. And although the scripture says that he went out not knowing whither he went, but he knew that God had something in store for him. God had made promises to him. And nephew Lot came along. I think there was some good desire there on the part of Lot to follow Uncle Abraham. You remember that the time came when there needed to be a departing of the ways. And the land could not bear them both. And so Abraham, in his generosity, he told Lot, he said, you take the one hand, I'll take the other. You take this way, I'll take that. And it says that Lot saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. Nice, lush, I can imagine. Very good for the cattle. And there was Sodom. It says that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. But it was the set of his sail that took him toward Sodom and finally in Sodom, in the gate of the city. Abraham maintained his worship of God in the less desirable country. And I can just imagine Lot, at least his children possibly, I know this is conjecture, but they're down there having a good life in Sodom. And they talk about old Uncle Abraham. He's still out there. He's still living in a tent. Can you imagine? We're living the good life. But you know, when destruction was to come to Sodom, Lot was able to leave with his wife and then lost her, but two of his daughters. Sad story. Low morals. But it all was the set of the sail. How Lot set his sail. We need to ask God for wisdom in the decisions that we face. What is the most important thing to us in life? Is it to be in the will of God? Following Him, suffering the reproach of the world. We could look at other examples. The example of Moses, Hebrews 11 says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. It says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Can we take that kind of a long look? You know, some people, they say, choose the path and accept the destiny. And others, and I trust it's us, that we choose the destiny and we accept whatever the path brings. Ruth, another example, left her country for the God of Naomi. I hope you can get the picture here this morning, the set of the sail and where they ended up. We have the example of Jesus. He said, I do always those things that please Him. He told the Father there in John 17, He says, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I've finished the work that Thou gavest Me to do. This morning, what is the set of our sails? Is it Godward or worldward? Remember, there's only two destinations. And I think we all want to reach that desired haven. But it's going to take a choice and a determination to follow the Lord and to set our sail toward heaven. I'll come back to parents now. It's not just you. It's your children. I'm concerned with, as I look out and I see the lack of appreciation for the heritage that we have. The applications of Bible principles, and they may vary. I realize the applications can vary. And I'm talking here this morning, it's more than just being just conservative, if I want to use that term. And I think it's despicable. If we hide carnality and immorality under our conservative attire, but what's important is that in our hearts and in our lives, we choose what God has for us. Especially as we get older, there's so many examples of how individuals and churches have set their sail and where they end up. And it seems like it's amazing how so many people can't make the connection. Well, so again, parents, your choices, your attitudes have a lot to do with how your children set their sail. and it ultimately determines their destinies. If we chafe under the restrictions in the church, our children will detect it. If we speak disparagingly of conservatism and those who seek to hold the line, and somehow lift up, and we heard some of this in the Sunday school lesson, you know, that it really doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. We lift up those living in disobedience to the Bible. We're having an effect on how they set their sail. And I think we need to be careful about judging in a way, being too critical of others that don't do just like we do. But we can tell our children this is what we believe the Bible teaches, and we want to obey it because we want to go to heaven. And I think we can do that without lifting ourselves up in some unholy way. And so it is, not only families, but it's churches that are made up of families. What is your goal? Can we set our sail worldward and expect to reach the desired haven? I think the answer is obvious. Not sure how to bring this to a close here on a positive note. We have been so blessed. Many of us have grown up in Christian homes that have helped us to set our sail toward heaven, toward that desired haven. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's possible for all of us here this morning, friends. God wants to go with us. What He wants is a heart that desires to do His will and is willing to do that at any cost. That's setting our sail for that desired haven. In Revelation it says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." That's the desired haven. I think we all want to be there. But again, we're going to have to choose. So again, it's a set of the sails, and I hope this goes with you. Time is short. Eternity is a long time. What we do in this life prepares us for where we will spend eternity. May the Lord bless you all, as a congregation, as parents, individuals, young people. Choose right. Set your sail toward heaven. Let's kneel for prayer.